Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, July 13th, 2020. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Hope everyone had a good weekend. It was action-packed with plenty of sports, and we will get to that here in just a moment. First, let me tell you who's on the show today. Todd Lebo will join us at 7:30 to discuss what went on over the weekend. We have Gary Lezak with your forecast. Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star will be with us for the 8 o'clock hour, and we could talk about Sporting Kansas City's collapse last night late. That is, Sam Mellinger will be on the show. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Chris Jones and Chris Jones rumors, Chris Jones social media. Of course, Chris Jones had a big autograph signing on Friday night in town, and he was tweeting out about that and pictures and everything else. And then there's some buzz that maybe Chris Jones and the Chiefs are talking, have an open line of communication. Talk to Sam Mellinger about that. And also the return of backup quarterback Matt Moore, who has been re-signed by the Kansas City Chiefs. Good to see that. And Matt Moore, of course, very, very important when Patrick Mahomes was injured last year, and Matt Moore helped lead the Chiefs to a big victory over the Minnesota Vikings and finished off the Denver Broncos. As a reminder, see, the Chiefs don't even need Patrick Mahomes to beat the Denver Broncos in Denver anymore. They just need Matt Moore. And so for Denver fans wondering, what do we have to do to close the gap between us and the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes? That's not the question that's in front of you. The question is, how do you close the gap between the Chiefs and Matt Moore? Let's see if you can get to that level before you talk about Mahomes. It's like a video game. You have to get past that level before you face the big boss. And so Matt Moore back with the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll talk to Sam Mellinger about that and the Royals and everything else. And then Adam Teicher from ESPN, who covers the Chiefs, we'll talk to him about Chris Jones and Matt Moore in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll also recap UFC 251. So we got lots of stuff to deal with today. A whole lot of shaking going on. I'm giving Nate the maximum amount of time to compose himself after last night's. I don't throw this word around very much, but bless it, I'll say it today. Last night's debacle. It's a very powerful word. I like the word very much. That's why I don't like to overuse it, but that was a debacle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good word.
Jake, do you sign off on that being a debacle last night?
I think I phrased it as a disaster.
Kiss my ass. It was a debacle.
I'm going with disaster.
I think it's a disaster.
I'm saying disaster. An utter disaster. I said it as a kick in the D.
Wait a minute. Right now, let me just stop this right now.
What?
Okay. There were a couple of times last week that I talked to Jake, and Jake's demeanor did not suggest he wanted to be talked to. Already this morning, I said it sounds like a refreshed and reinvigorated Jake Gutierrez.
Well, you can't see him right now.
That it sounds like he could be pleasing to the ear today. So why do we need? I know I can't see him right now. Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah.
I was looking at my wall. I kept thinking,
good for you. Good for you. You can't see me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hey. Yeah. What do you got to say, Nate?
Well, it sounds like we lost Steven for a second, and I'm about to send him a picture of Jake Gutierrez because something's missing today, man.
Yeah, about 5-pound beer that you see on the face.
That you fresh faced Jake Gutierrez, you shaved yourself clean. You had the biggest, heftiest beard I've ever seen you have in your life for the past how long?
Last time I shaved was on my 40th birthday, March 12th of this year. of 2020.
So basically,
the day that sports died.
Wow.
That was the day Rudy Gobert tested positive.
That was the Wednesday of the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah.
Wow. You haven't shaved since then.
No. So I had a quarant beard going on.
Quarant beard.
And so, that got eliminated yesterday.
Since we finally, that was, last night was the first professional sporting event involving a Kansas City team since the quarantine. Four months.
And I was ready to go. I shaved the beard off. I was like, here we go.
Maybe the Babbitt. Yeah. I hope that wasn't bad luck.
I had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
The guys that couldn't finish Happy Meals on that field last night.
No, that was, they did blow some chances in the first half. And at halftime, during the commercial break, I talked to Jacob Peterson and said, on the one hand, this is great because Sporting look phenomenal. They look great. They are dominant. They are destroying Minnesota. But on the other hand, it feels like they should be, not could, but should be up by two or three.
It should, yeah, at least two. And probably three.
We've seen enough. If you've watched enough soccer in your life, you know you've seen games where that's happened and a team ends up regretting those missed chances at some point in the game. And that certainly turned out to be one of those games last night. And obviously, the red card was the biggest turning point in the game, but Minnesota United were back in the game before that. They had already scored a goal that looked like it was going to tie things up. It got ruled, it got disallowed because of a very, very close offside call.
Razor thin.
And
could have gone either way.
From that moment forward, that gave Minnesota United confidence that they look like a different team and Sporting looked like a different team the rest of that game.
Yeah.
Did you think that was a red card on Melia?
No, I did not, because I don't think it was a clear-cut goal-scoring chance.
Yeah, the denial of a clear goal-scoring opportunity, because Pucic was behind him and he was going away from
yellow
goal.
Yellow card, yes.
Yeah.
But you know,
right.
He was not the last defender.
Right.
He was not the last defender, and it was not a clear cut. Like, if that was inside the six, yeah, okay. But he was 20 yards from frame.
Right.
He's 20 yards from the goal. So it.
And there was a defender back there, like you said. That, to me, if it's a one-on-one situation, and he gets past Melia, and he's wide open to goal, then that's a red card. But when there's a defender behind Melia, still that he's got to get past, to me, I thought that was questionable.
And I think more for me has to do with how far away from the goal he was.
But you'll see it. You'll see a red card if a guy is just steaming down the field by himself and there's no other defender back and the goalkeeper comes out and takes him down 30 yards from goal. They'll give you a red card.
Yeah, because there's nothing between the goal and the player. But there was definitely one and possibly a second defender closing down.
Yeah.
So but I get it, and I think it was quick to go to that red card. I don't think I would have gone to my AR in that situation. I would have gone and talked to him. So what do you see here? Was he the last defender? Do you think I'm about to give this guy a red card? Yeah. You on board with that? Talk me out of it. There should have been some type of discussion. He did talk in his ear to the VAR and they kind of looked at it. But that's the last thing you should do.
Yeah.
You should use everything. You should use your assistant referees.
Yeah.
And so I get it. I mean, it wasn't a ridiculous call. I think it went against Sporting, obviously.
Yeah, I think it was a bad call, but sometimes that happens in a game, and you have to deal with it, and Sporting did not deal with it right. They managed that game very poorly the rest of the game. Steven, you're back. I sent you a picture of Jake.
I saw it.
What do you think? You notice anything?
Looking good.
Feeling good.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to compare it to, so I don't notice anything. I haven't seen him in months. So
I had a.
It looks like a picture of Jake to me.
I had about a 5-pound beard going on my face. It was. You would have been proud of it. You would have been very proud of it.
Oh man,
huge!
He had not shaved. He said since the start of the pandemic back on March 12th.
That's correct.
The day the sports world died.
My 40th birthday.
Putting that picture into the proper context. Like, oh hey,
hold on. I took a picture before I shaved it off.
I thought maybe you'd seen a picture of him with a beard.
I'm gonna send you both the picture. Yeah. The bearded Jake before I chopped it off.
So the point is he's a different man today, Stephen. He's fresh faced and he's eager to talk. He's engaged in the show.
So what you guys were talking about? So who was the broadcast crew last night, Jake? Who was the
Twelman and John
Champion.
So Twelman said you guys were both wrong and said that was a good call and that should have been a red card. and people don't understand the rule, and that's why they were complaining about it on social media. What do you say to that?
I wonder what he said about the rule that we don't understand.
He said it's not about there is no last guy or last you know that he had to beat. He prevented a scoring opportunity, and that's why it should be a red card. It has nothing to do with if there was one more guy behind him.
That's the subjective part of the call, right? Whether that was a clear-cut goal-scoring chance or not is the complete interpretation of why it would be a red card or not. And his opinion was it was a clear – I don't think it was clear.
So I know my broadcast partner, Jacob Peterson, who played in the league for 14 years. He's got a lot of buddies in the league. He told me he texted a bunch of guys on different teams last night to ask him what they thought, and only one guy that he talked to thought it was a red card. And so
did he text Taylor Twellman?
He did not. He did not text Taylor Twellman.
We should have.
But here's the thing. Honestly, though, you hear me say this a lot. Losers, blaming the refs is for losers. Sporting lost the game, and that's why you sit here. We're talking about the ref. If Sporting manages that game properly the rest of the way, I think they still at least should get a point out of that game. If not, win the whole thing. They didn't handle it the right way, and a big part of soccer is managing the game. When you have a lead and you're down a man, you can't allow things to become as stretched as Sporting Kansas City did in that game. And what I mean by stretched is you start spreading yourself out on the field, you get the ball, you start driving forward to see if you can score again, and that exposes your defense because not everybody's back in position if you turn the ball over. And you don't want to get in a track meet when you're down by a man, and you want to turn the game into a boring game where they've got to get through all 10 of your guys to try to score. And Sporting just didn't do that. Now, Peter Vermees said after the game, look, the guys were just exhausted. They haven't played a game. They haven't even had a preseason-type game in 4 months. And that's probably true. And I think sometimes mentally you make bad decisions when you're fatigued and all of those things. So whether or not that's an excuse, whatever you could say, the bottom line is they didn't. I think that I would sure think that most Sporting players would agree that they didn't handle that the right way. They did not manage the game properly, and good call or bad call, you get calls in games that are bad, and you have to deal with it. And Sporting Kansas City,
I'm just trying
did
to
not
figure it out because casual fans have no idea what the hell was going on or some
in terms of the red card,
right?
Yeah, I mean. Yeah,
don't quite understand what the dispute was.
Yeah, the idea in soccer, denial of a goal scoring opportunity, and I think I can't remember if the language says clear goal scoring opportunity. I think it does.
That's what he claimed it was.
And I would argue now. Look, Sporting colored glasses on here. I would argue that first of all, the man was not driving straight toward goal at the time he was fouled. He was going almost away from goal to
angle.
The right.
An angle. 45 angle, going to the corner of the box.
And there was a defender behind him. The reason that people usually cite that about a defender, is it the last man, is because usually that means clear goal-scoring opportunity. If you get past this guy, you've got a wide-open goal. And if he got past Tim Melia, I don't think he's got a wide open goal. Roberto Puncic was behind Melia and still there to be a factor in the play. So I think it, because of that, should not have been a red card. But it was. So that's the referee's, judgment on that one.
What about Richard Sanchez?
He looked incredibly nervous to me when he came into the game.
That's just a rough spot to be in.
Twellman was right though. He said they need. I mean, it was kind of funny the way he said things. Boy, they need to test and they need to get some shots on goal. Like, well, yeah, that usually that's the they're trying to do that. all the time. He just said, boy, they should really try to get a shot. I'm like, yeah, well, I think that's the goal all the time. But to test him to see if they could rattle him early on, and he had said that, and then right after he said that, then like, oh no, then it all fell apart. And I think that's a tough spot, isn't it? You said, you don't get to properly warm up. Everything else, you're not. I mean, you're not thinking about playing. And no, not to make excuses for him and his mustache, but he did look like a little bit like a young Jake, to be honest with you. But
the mustache was good, and that was about it. I don't blame him really for either of the goals. I mean, the first one bounces off his own player. Maybe he could have been a little stronger coming out for it, but it bounces off Kyrie Shelton and. There's a whole lot. It went right through his legs. It's just kind of an unlucky situation. The second goal, I think, took a deflection as well. off of Puncich. So I don't know about that, but he looked nervous. He wasn't able to play kick the ball the where he wanted to. His first goal kick, his first touch, he fired the ball out of bounds, which is usually not what you want to do as a goalkeeper, and it's a pretty big error. And he just kind of struggled handling the ball the rest of the game. So I'd like to chalk that up to nerves, because guys played in the he's got 9 years of professional experience. He should be better than that. I would sure think. I haven't had a chance to watch him much before this. The coaches have been raving about him. It was ironic. I mean, right before all that, Carter Augustine was on with us telling us how much they loved him in training camp and how much he looked good. But he certainly didn't show it. And here's the thing. Because of the red card, Tim Ilya is suspended for the next game.
Yeesh.
Which means that Richard Sanchez is going to have to start the next game. And it's a game that Sporting Kansas City got to get something out of now. They got to get at least a draw,
That's a completely different situation. When you're mentally focused and you know you're going to be playing, and you know you're from minute one to minute 90, you're going to be laser focused going into the game. It's such a...
But what's his confidence going to be like?
That's a good question, too. I don't know. Hopefully he's a professional and he's a goalkeeper, and you got to let that go, and you got to know that wasn't your fault and that was a team loss, and you know you got put in a bad spot, and this is a clean slate to work with. So it the mindset has to completely flip.
Yeah, I'm going to take a page from Taco Salazar's tweets last night. Just a simple question for both of you: do you believe that they did Sanchez dirty?
With that mustache especially.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, Jake doesn't have any answers for that one, does he?
None. I got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe it or not? No?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think they did him dirty because of that call on Melia.
There it is. I got other questions about this. About this debacle.
Well.
Let's take a break.
We got answers. Oh. We got 3.5 hours of answers for you. Yeah.
I was so cranky the whole drive home last night.
You didn't, but see, I was going back and forth.
I was done.
You didn't sound as devastated on the call as I would have imagined.
Well, I'm trying to be professional, you know. You still got a game to call.
You are?
Right, but I mean.
Since when?
But you know.
When I call those games, I try to be professional.
Okay, that's fair.
If that happens to Harry Carey in the cut, he's cussing.
That's true.
You know, I mean, you didn't, you
that's
know.
True.
You're not
I'm no Harry Carey.
But I was expecting, like, or something.
I did not say scrumptious. That's for sure.
Let's take a break on that note. Sporting loses last night.
Mm.
Just a collapse. Whatever you want to call it, it fits. We will we'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. I had one more question for Jake. Goalkeeper Jake. What was your email at AOL?
JG1Keeper. I still have that. If you want to email me, JG1Keeper at AOL.
How often you check that one?
Another question for JG1Keeper.
That was my number. I was number one. So Jake Gutierrez, one, and then I was a goalkeeper. See how it all makes sense? When you're a 14-year-old trying to come up with your AOL handle.
It's a good one.
Right.
So what? The other question I have for you is, on Sporting Kansas City's goal, what the hell was that goalkeeper doing?
Oh, boy. I don't have any idea. That's like the cardinal sin of goalkeeping is leaving your near post open and getting scored on near post. I think it was a case of him just getting lost of where he was and him trying to sell out. Like, I mean, cause you want to always protect the near post, but you kind of want to push the guy, hey, take a shot on my near post. And, that's what he was trying to do. And then I just think
he failed.
Yeah. Big time. It was a nightmare. A disaster, which he had, then another time they didn't make him pay where he spilled the ball out right in front of the goal. Was it Gerso that just missed over the top on that volley, Nate? It was a disaster that keeper got lucky. I mean, he He did not. Miller did not have a good game last night, and Sporting did not capitalize. I think that was the biggest disappointment. You get to halftime and you only have a 1-0 lead, and you know that you had at least two or three more goals out there. At least minimum, you should have been up 2-0 at halftime, and that's a whole different game. I mean, they dominated the first 60 minutes of that game, and it looked like they were up a man playing that first half. I mean, there was no life. Minnesota had no life. They had no opportunities. I don't even know if they had a shot on goal. I mean,
they had one shot in the first half from Jan Grigu.
But not on goal, was it?
Well, it was from like 25 yards away. And Emilia made a save on it, but it wasn't like, what an amazing save.
There was no danger whatsoever in the first half from Minnesota.
And then they didn't have a shot. Like, they didn't have a shot at all like the first 15 minutes of the second half. Then they got that.
Was the goal that got overturned? Was that a good call?
I just saw some soccer tweet from.
I'd been pissed.
Soccer.
I'd been pissed if I was a Minnesota fan.
Yeah. I was gonna say that's a surprise. Nate just saw a soccer tweet.
Yeah.
Right.
Put that on your gravestone. Nate, I just saw a soccer tweet. So was it? I'm asking before you say anything about anybody else. You saw it. You recalled. Was that a good call or not?
Yeah, I think he was offside, but it was really close, and I think
Jake says he'd have been mad if he was a Minnesota fan.
Well,
so he says it wasn't a good call.
This is that whole debate about how close of a play are we going to overturn with replay in sports? Because, you know, in soccer, the threshold in replay is supposed to be you only overturn something if it's a clear and obvious error. They're not trying to get every call right. They're just trying to fix the big mistakes. That's the way they look at it, and I actually like that approach. I can't stand it when they stop games for 5 to 10 minutes to analyze whether or not a guy's, you know, if there was a blade of grass that was out of bounds that a guy touched or not. To me, it's, you know, if it's that close, then the call should stand and let's move on with the game. And I think that would be the argument you'd have if you're Minnesota United, was that was a really, really close call. I've seen, you know, diagrams and stuff that have showed he's offsides. So if he's offsides, to me, that's not really it's a fairly black and white situation. So I think it's the right call. But I understand where Jake's coming from, because just of how close it was, it wasn't like he was standing just a whole body length across the offside line. He's, you know, half of his body maybe is offsides.
And I'll be honest, I was shocked that they went to the VAR.
I was a little surprised,
too. And then when they did go to it, I was like, well, that's too close. I mean, you can see a world where you could call him off, but, so that was a gift, I think, for Sporting. Something else that should be talking about. Once they got out of that, it's like, whew, okay, now let's settle down. I think that would have been the time that I think Peter Vermes was criticized a little bit in the post game on TV for not making any subs. And you, in the 92nd and the 97th minute, you're giving up those two goals. You have.
They both said they were surprised.
Yeah, I was too. That you didn't put at least one set of fresh legs out there. Probably two is what I would have gone out with. And just said, you work your ass off for the next 5 minutes. You got two guys out there with fresh legs running around. With that kind of energy, it's a different feel towards the end of that game, and I think Sporting probably gets away with a draw on that if they make some subs. Look, it's all revisionist history, but I think if you probably, I don't know, I haven't listened to all of Peter Vermes' post game. I don't know if he was asked about it in the post game, but that he should have been, and you know,
yeah, was the shot that hit the crossbar after. The goal was overturned?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the momentum, you felt it coming.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, before the momentum was coming before the red card. The momentum, the red card came as a result of the fact that Minnesota, it seemed to me like all of a sudden when they got that goal, even though it got overturned, because that goal kind of came from nothing. They really hadn't been doing much, and then all of a sudden they had a set piece, and the ball just kind of bounced around, and it was like, hey, we're in this game, guys. And it was like they realized, you know what, we've been getting battered this whole game, but all it takes is one goal and we get something out of this. And as soon as they got that little glimpse of life, they started pressing forward more, and Sporting KC didn't seem to be able to react. There's two mindsets in soccer. There's playing with the ball and there's playing without the ball. And Minnesota United had won their first two games this season by a combined score of 8-3. Like they scored more goals in the first two games of the season than anybody. they had less of the ball than any team in the league, 40% of the possession. And in this game, they had about 40% of the possession. Some teams in soccer don't mind playing without the ball. Their attitude is, we're going to sit back, we're going to absorb the pressure from you, we're going to let you, you know, have the, as long as we don't, you know, crack and give a goal up, we'll be fine. And then we'll try to take our chances on counterattacks and when we get set pieces and see if we can score. And that's what Minnesota United kind of does, and that's what they did in the game. And then once it was time to go forward, they got some chances, and then they got the red card, and that absolutely changed everything. So Sporting played really well with the ball. They did not play as well once they had to protect that lead, and that's disappointing because I think that's part of being a good team. When you get up in soccer, you want to make sure you hold on to that lead and you don't put yourself in a bad position, and Sporting KC didn't do that. But I will go back to it. This is the first game back in 4 months. It had been 126 days since Sporting had played a game.
MLS is back.
It is back. And And one of the things that I know Taylor Twellman talked about the very first game back on Wednesday was you're going to see these games get pretty wide open in the last 15 minutes of games because guys are going to be exhausted and tired. And that goes back to kind of the Jake's point is you have five subs available now.
Right, and that's you know, you got two more subs than you would normally, and that's –
I know Peter's talked about it in the past because he does not make substitutions as often as other coaches do. And his attitude a lot of times is, look, I think it's going to disrupt the chemistry of the team.
I get that too. I get that when you're playing, but you have to have if you're going to coach like that, you have to have an absolute, you have to know where everybody's at, and you have to be able to assess that perfectly. And that's a hard ask.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you have to have that complete trust, and it works both ways. When guys, you know, have a manager that trusts in them, they dig in a little deeper. And that's, you know, but here's my problem. What we saw last night, and this is what scares me, that was last year's team. What we saw last night was a team that would dominate for 80 minutes, and then in the last 15 minutes, the last 10, 15 minutes of the match, they'd fall apart. They would absolutely fall apart. And it seemed like that was a trend, and that's who they became last year. That's scary for me. Like, to see that happen right out the chute, it's like that's not a role that you want to get into a routine of doing. And that's because once that trend starts, that's who you are, and that's a hard thing to shake.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. I watched a movie over the weekend with Susan that I think Jake would love. I do not know that Nate would love it, but this has Jake literally written all over it. When we were watching it, there was just like your name was all over it.
My name was on this movie?
So that's weird that his name's all over this.
I hope they
even
give me
Susan
some
said,
money
even Susan said,
my name, right?
First Susan said, oh, the boys would love this. And then she goes, Jake would like this too. So it's the same, like, in the same grouping of, well, but that's a good group.
No, I'd like to be, you know,
good group.
It means I'm a young man at heart, right? Because
right.
17-year-old you're talking about, and a 22. Richie, how old is Richie now, 23?
23.
Damn, 23. Man. Right.
The Old Guard on Netflix. It was released on
the
Friday.
The Old Guard. Huh.
So first of all, it stars Charlize Theron, and I don't know why you wouldn't love
yes.
everything.
No, she used to be my number one.
Well, she'll be your number one after this.
Okay.
Well, I think that she's going to be your number one after this. It's about, I think it's after a graphic novel. I mean, you could call it I'm looking right now at just the Wikipedia says an American superhero film, based on the comic book of the same name. Follows a team of immortal mercenaries that go on a revenge mission. And I watched a little. They interviewed her on UFC Live because she's a big UFC fan, and they helped promote the movie. And I watched a bunch of footage of her training for this movie in some different disciplines, and it made me want to see it even more. And I watched it, and I feel like Jake, this will be one of your favorites, and I feel like this will elevate her back to number one.
Okay, I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
Did that premise sound all right?
Yes. I'm currently looking at it. It's,
so,
I'm very interested. I'll check it
very
out.
Very entertaining. And clearly the way it ended, too, it'll be the first of many, it seems like.
So there's probably a series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was very John Wickish in this.
Okay.
That's all.
Interesting look.
You like her, Nate?
Yes, I do.
So she went short-haired brunette.
Just tremendous. She is tremendous. I can tell you that right now. What a great job she did in that movie. A very physical role.
But you don't think I would like it?
Well, it's a lot of graphic.
You're not a
violence.
Superhero guy.
You're not a superhero guy. But if you like her a lot, then it'll make you just you'll like it just because it's all her. But you have to go through some, graphic violence.
Forever is harder than it looks.
It is. I could tell you that. So
there are movies with graphic violence in them that I enjoy quite a bit, not because of the graphic violence, like the other parts of the movie are so good.
Like
that
Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, and I mean, I loved Game of Thrones. There's a lot of graphic violence there. But
mild.
A little bit.
Why don't you give it a try?
A little bit.
Why don't you give it a try if you got some time on your hands?
If the show is good enough, I'm good with the graphic violence.
You can look past it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Sue liked it.
Okay.
I thought it was very
old guard.
Now, here's a couple of questions from Nate likes when we read things from the text line, so that's what we'll do, Nate. Will you answer or not?
Sure.
Okay, three things from one of our fine listeners. Why is nobody talking about the headshot early on Roger Espinosa that would have been a targeting call and an ejection in college football?
Was that when the guy landed, elbowed Roger when he landed? I thought that could have easily been a card.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
you have to kind of judge intent on that one. Like, did the guy just land on him awkwardly, or was he trying to throw an elbow at that point? It's one thing, if you accidentally elbow a guy because your elbow's way up above your head and you're both on your feet, you can get a red card for that. But when you're landing on someone, I think that's a little bit of a...
I didn't think it was egregious.
Yeah.
We continue the theme. Peter had 5 subs and didn't use most until the 90th minute, even though we were down a man, hadn't played a game in 4 months, and it was hot and humid. Those are more of a statement. Why in God's name did he not sub off a forward for the keeper at the red card and keep the midfield whole to help the defense? He has to know they're going to be under pressure the rest of the game.
It's a fair question.
Well, I would argue that he subbed off an attacking player. Gotti Kinda is the attacking midfielder. He is much more of a forward type player, an attacking type player than he is a defending player. The wingers for Sporting, they're called forwards, but they track back and play defense much more than the number 10 does, the position that Gotti Kinda plays. So, and I would actually say that, by the way, Alan Pulido was the man of the match for Sporting Kansas City in that game, and he was the best. I said a lot of the Sporting players did not manage the game well. He was the one guy out there that clearly seemed to understand, we need to slow this game down. We need to hold on to the ball. And a lot of times, forwards are the worst at that. They're the ones a lot of times that when they get the ball, they want to turn around and drive towards goal and try to score, no matter what the situation is. And there were a lot of times where he got the ball, he could have done that and probably would have turned the ball over, and instead, he would act like he was going to drive toward goal, then stop, turn around, play the ball back, and say, let's hold on to the ball. Unfortunately, his teammates kept turning the ball over after that and putting the team under pressure.
And here's one more, and thanks for texting in the good questions. 913-912-4810. He says, down a man, outside backs kept pushing up the field. Why, for the love of God, are we still pressing that hard forward down a man?
And that's kind of the point I was making. That's about managing the game. And I don't think they manage the game well. And Sporting is an attack, attack, attack type team. But even Peter Vermees would tell you, when you're in that situation at the end of a game, it's not about attacking anymore. It's about bunkering in, making yourself hard to break down, tightening the game up. And Sporting they just didn't do that well. I will say this though. I'm gonna kind of push back a little bit on what Jake said in that, yes, there were some similarities last night to what we saw last year. But before I call it a trend, there's a lot of new guys on this team. There's a lot of changes, and this was the first game back in 4 months.
Look, I'm not labeling that. I'm just saying what that felt like. When I'm at the end of that game and what I felt, I felt that a lot last year. Yep. I'm just talking about the feeling of watching the momentum, and you felt like this was going to happen. And that's what I mean. Like, I'm not saying this team is, that's their identity. I'm not saying that. And it's way too early to stick something like that. But that was their identity last year. And a lot of these guys are the same guys. And that feeling resonated last night. And I didn't like it. And I felt that a lot last year. And I'm not, look, this is so early. It's such a weird scenario that I'm not going to, one match, I'm not going to label this is who this team is. You can't do that. No way. And I certainly didn't want it to come off like that. All I'm saying is that feeling I had last night in the minutes why that clock was ticking down.
It was too familiar.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. I didn't like it, and I don't like, that's not where you want to be. And if you're a player, you don't want that in the back of your head.
I'm getting more people saying that Sanchez reminded them of Jake. And I'm not saying that because he may have played poorly at the end, just the look.
He just gave it up to two quick goals.
not the play, just the look. Do you accept that?
Well, the mustache, we've seen Jake rock a mustache like that before.
Right. If you squint your eyes, you could almost, you could almost see you out there. Maybe.
Well, you're going to get to see him more on Friday. You're going to get to see him more on Friday.
I like being Dirty Sanchez. I'm going to send you.
I mean,
guys.
There was a time. Oh, I'm old enough to remember the time on the texting that you were thinking about getting a Sanchez jersey.
Yes, I was considering it,
but that idea quickly went away.
I'm going to send you guys a bunch of uncomfortable pictures.
Well, he's going to have a shot at redemption on Friday night, because he's going to be starting on Friday night because Tim Melia is suspended.
Yeah.
So, chance. And I don't think the game was his fault in any way. I mean, he misplayed a few passes that did not help. But in terms of the two goals, I don't put those on him.
We'll be back after this on WHB. Coming up on the show, we'll talk to Todd Lebo at 7:30. Sam Mellinger will be on after Gary Lizek gives us the forecast. Then in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN about Adam Jones and also get his thoughts on the return of Matt Moore to the Kansas City Chiefs depth chart. So that was good news to see Matt Moore back, Jake Pounders and Nate Buchanan.
Heck yeah, a little bit more of Matt Moore, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'd wondered why they hadn't brought him back to begin with, but now he's back, and we will see what happens moving forward. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for watching us on 38th Spot. The show continues right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.